In today's show, the prophet Daniel interprets King Nebuchadnezzar's dream that foretells of the five world empires, which concludes with the return of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned.
This show is dedicated to making Bible prophecy simple. Our agenda is clear. Reveal the future and show you how to prepare for it. Jesus is coming soon, and it's our goal to help you be ready. Welcome to the Bible Prophecy Show.
Thank you for joining us on the Bible Prophecy Show. My name is Brian Gogler, and with me today, my co-host, Reverend Brian Smith.
Great to be here.
Well, you know, before we get started, there's three things we want to make sure our show accomplishes today. Number one, we want to equip you with the knowledge of the end time events so you can have a better understanding of the Word of God. Number two, we want to motivate and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus Christ. We want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life so you can achieve the purpose that God has for you. And number three, we want to provide an outreach tool for you to send to your friends, your loved ones, to win them over. We want as many as possible to be a part of the second coming of Jesus.
And number four, this podcast will help you walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope.
What?
You know you want to.
Not so sure about that. But I do want to mention, though, that if this is your first time listening to our podcast, we have several episodes before this that you want to make sure you listen to when you're done with today's.
Right.
Because we learned about the Antichrist.
Yes.
And how to identify him. Mm-hmm. We learned about the abomination of desolation. We also learned about his partner in crime.
Yes, like you're my partner in crime.
That's right. So all that is in the last few episodes. Make sure you listen to that.
And now it's time for the Bible joke of the day.
All right. Do you have one?
I do. Do you have one?
No, I'm glad you have one.
Okay, good.
But I do have a trivia. We do have trivia today.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I hope the girls don't get mad at me on this one.
Uh-oh.
I know they make jokes about us.
They do. They do.
We're not
the
male chauvinists because we have a little joke. Oh. We love what we're both married. You're married. I'm happily married. I try to be a good husband. I'm potty trained and everything. But here's the question.
All right, the joke.
The joke. Why did God create man before woman?
I'm not sure.
Because he didn't want any advice on how to get it done. I'm fired. I'm in trouble with my wife.
I think we should just jump into today's topic then.
He didn't even laugh on that one. He knows his wife's going to hear this. He's like, let's just go ahead and jump on into this. That was a terrible joke.
It was okay. Let's moving on. Let's go ahead and do. You're going to start us off today with you. I know you like the prophet Daniel. You've told us in the past he's
Danny.
Danny, you call him Danny.
We're on a first name basis. He's my friend.
All right.
Yeah. What happened was, King Nebuchadnezzar one night had a dream. I don't know if you're familiar with King Nebuchadnezzar, but he was basically the leader of the whole known world. He had a world empire. And, you know, when you rule that many people, you're used to getting your way.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but he had a dream one night. And when he woke up the next morning, he could not remember his dream. That ever happened to you before?
All the time.
We might just get irritated about it. We want to know what we dreamed, but we move on. You mm-hmm. know, we're adults.
Sure.
Life goes on. But this guy was used to getting his way. Hmm. And so he calls all his magicians and his soothsayers and astrologers. He says, hey, guys, I had this dream. It was amazing. It was powerful. I knew it was special, but I can't remember the dream. Now, I want the interpretation. I want to know what it means. But I can't even tell you what the dream was. I forgot the dream altogether. So he said, look, you guys are on payroll. I house you. I feed you. You know,
that's right.
It's time to earn your keep here. And I need some of you to tell me, somebody, anybody, what I dreamed. And then if you tell me that, I'll know you can interpret it. Well, one of the wise men said, oh, king, live forever. He tried to pull a quick one on the king.
Sure.
We will be glad to give you the interpretation. Just tell us the dream. And the king said, I knew you guys were a bunch of phonies. I just told you I don't remember the dream. Well, go ahead.
So hold on a minute. So you're telling me he's asking them to tell him his dream.
Yeah.
Has that ever been done before? That sounds crazy.
Well, that's exactly what the head, magician said. He said to the king, "O king, live forever. This has never been asked of any of their astrologers, any of the king's astrologers. No king asks such things. The answer of things like that is only known among the gods." And the king got so frustrated by that, because here he is paying their way, paying their home, paying their food. And he says, "You know what? I'm wasting money here. I'm just going to kill every last one of you then. If nobody can tell me my dream, I have no use for you. I'm going to kill you all." And he actually gave that decree.
That seems a little extra there, a little extreme.
Yeah, bad day.
I guess so. Hope you don't need him in the future there, buddy.
He woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Anyway, so here they go, fixing to exterminate all of the prophets, soothsayers, astrologers of the kingdom. Somebody knocks on Daniel's door. Daniel never even heard about this. And they said, "Daniel, you've got to die. The king wants all of them, all the guys dead, because nobody will tell him his dream." He said, wait a minute. He said, "Let me talk to the king. The God I serve is a revealer of secrets. Let me have a little time to pray and see if God will give me the answer."
Okay.
They told the king that, and the king agreed. And Daniel went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we say, which is not their real names. I don't know. I can't even remember their real names. We all in Sunday school learned them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, "Help me pray, guys, because we've got to get an answer from God." They prayed. They fasted. God gave Daniel the same dream that the king had.
Wow.
And the interpretation of it. So Daniel is escorted back into the king's presence, and he says, "Oh, king, live forever. God gave me the dream. He showed me in the night visions your dream." And this is where, if you have your Bible,
sure,
Brother Brian, if you'll read Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 through 36. This is Daniel revealing to the king his dream. We're not going to get into the interpretation of it just yet, but I want you to listen to what the Bible says when Daniel reveals to the king his dream, what he actually dreamed.
All right, Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king."
Wow, what a dream. I mean, you go to bed one night, and in this dream, you see this huge statue. I mean, it's awesome. It's like the size of a mountain. It looks like a man. And the head of this man is like gold. And his chest area and his arms are silver. And his loins are brass. His legs are made out of iron. And his feet made of iron mingled with clay. And what else happened? This rock comes down and hits the feet. And then all of a sudden, this whole image from the bottom all the way to the top shatters into a million shards, and the wind drives it away. And then this rock grows up into this huge mountain, and it fills the entire earth. I mean, what a powerful, powerful dream.
The king knew this meant something.
Yeah.
Think about this for a minute. Now this is sinking into me. He was burdened by this dream so much, he knew it meant something so strong that he was willing to kill them all.
I've had dreams where you may have had too much pizza the night before and it's goofy, right? And just weird stuff, you know, like Alice in Wonderland stuff. And then I've had other dreams where I knew it was from God. And I think Nebuchadnezzar knew this was from some spiritual being. Maybe he doesn't know God like we do, but he knew, hey, this is not just a pizza dream. This is not one of these goofy dreams that, you know, make no sense or have no purpose. This is a special dream. And then to wake up and cannot remember for the life of you one detail. It's like God set it all up that way.
Well, and God put something in him, right? So he knew there's something about this. I'm driven to find this answer.
Yeah.
You know, because it was that important.
Wow, well, in that's just amazing. A moment, we're going to come back and visit this, and we're going to interpret what that, actually Daniel interprets the dream. But it has a lot of implication for us today, because it's going to basically tell us what the scene's going to look like when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, since this is all about Bible prophecy. But in the meantime, it's time for the revealing of last week's trivia question.
So last week, we gave four clues to the Where Am I trivia.
Yes.
And I'll review the clues real quick, and then we'll give the answer.
All right.
The first clue was, we'll go back and forth. First clue was, I'm a city that Paul wrote to in the Bible. And then also there was a book of the Bible named after this city.
The second one was, I am located 125 miles south of Ephesus.
All right, so it can't be Ephesians because it's south of Ephesus.
That's right.
The third one was, Philemon is a Persian, and he's also the name of a book of the Bible there, was a member of the church there.
And number four, Epaphras planted the church in this area.
And for the answer, drum roll please. The answer is Colossae or the book of Colossians. Either one.
All right.
All right. So if you knew that, good for you.
Yeah. Excellent.
Let's go ahead and roll into today's. Now, we do things a little bit different now. We're going to read this trivia, and then we're going to do it at the end of this episode. So as you're listening, yes. I want you to think about it, and your favorite part is what we do first before we give the trivia.
The scale.
Yes, it's the scale.
And we're not talking about a weight scale
no,
in the bathroom
that
because that's
be good.
Not my favorite
that
at
would
all.
Not. So the scale means, for example, there's essentially four elements to this story that you're going to have to identify. Mm-hmm. If you get one of those correct, now it's just between you and God, right? We're not there to grade them. We don't hear, you know, you're just going to come up with it. And God's going to know if you're right or not. But if you get one of these correct, that means you definitely have an appetite for the Word of God.
Yes, you got one right. Not a big appetite.
Just an appetite.
Mm-hmm. And number two, if you get two of these right, you must be pretty hungry for more of the Word of God.
That's good.
It's not, you just don't want a snack. You want something more.
If you get three of these correct, you must be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. I mean, you know three of the four.
That's good.
Yeah, yep, that is good.
If you get all four of them, you've eaten the whole buffet of God's Word, and you have found that it is very good.
All right.
Wait a minute. What if you get zero?
Uh-oh.
You're spiritually what?
This means you're basically, with this analogy, we're going with hungry. That means you're spiritually starving.
Yeah.
That would be your spiritual. Yeah. You need to get something. You need to get something right.
Yeah. I hope you get something. If you don't, we're not going to throw stones at
you. No.
Just need to read your Bible some more.
I feel bad now that we said that for zero. If someone gets
I
zero,
know. But.
Okay. So here's the four elements we're looking for, and then we're going to go ahead and we'll take turns reading the scriptures. You're going to look for who is the prophet in the story. What book of the Bible is the story in?
Mm-hmm.
What city are they building a wall around?
Yeah.
And then who is the king in the story?
Okay.
So when we get to, we're going to read out of the King James Version.
Yeah.
When we get to the story, instead of saying prophet, we might say like certain prophet. And instead of saying the king's name, we'll just say the king. Other than that, we'll read it, you know, word for word.
All right.
Or certain city. You know. All right, let's do this. All right. Chapter, I can't say the first verse I'm going to read here. I'll read these first two.
Okay.
It says, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judea, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning our city. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of our city is also broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So the prophet that we have to guess today is being told of what's happening to his city.
And it came to pass in the month Nisan, and we're not talking about a car, in the 20th year of the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but the sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid.
And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?
Then said I unto them, You see the distress that we are in, how lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of our city, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work.
All right, so you'll need to know what was the prophet that went and was called to go and to rebuild the wall. What book of the Bible is this story in? What city are they building the wall around? And then who was the king in the story? The king's going to be the tough one. All right, and let's jump right back into the story, because we're at a really interesting spot here. So Daniel went, and he actually received from the Lord the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
And he went and told the king, this is your dream. And sure enough,
the king was amazed.
As well,
needless to say, I mean, what if somebody told you what you dreamed?
Well, here's the thing. That same God that did that for Daniel is the same God we serve today.
Same God.
He can do anything.
Well, verse 36 says, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And whithersoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Okay, so first of all, we know that this is a worldwide empire. Mm-hmm. It's not just a nation. You know, there's over 200 nations on earth right now.
All right.
This dream isn't about the next 200 nations that'll exist from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until the time of the return of Jesus Christ. This is only five specific kingdoms that we're dealing with from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until the return of Jesus Christ. So, and like I said, there's many nations on this earth, but to be in this specific dream, you're not just a nation. You're a nation that is a global nation, like a one world government. And the proof of that is found in verse number 39. Verse 39 says, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, and here's the key phrase, which shall bear rule over all the earth.
There it is, right there.
So these are not just nations on the earth. These are world empires on the earth. And King Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream by God saying, from the time of your rule, King Nebuchadnezzar, until the time I come back again and rule the earth myself, there will only be five world empires that bear rule over all the earth. So that first head of gold is, it says plainly who it is in verse 37. Thou, O King Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold.
All right.
So then we have the breast of arms and silver. And this is another kingdom. Verse 39 says, another kingdom shall rise after thee that is inferior to thee. And then another third kingdom of brass. And I got to interject this. When Nebuchadnezzar was king, it was known as the golden age, the golden era. Then the silver age, then the bronze age, right in the same time of the next world empire. Well, the second empire was the Medo-Persian Empire. That actually came to pass. We actually have the story of it in the Bible. This very king Nebuchadnezzar, his kingdom was destroyed when the Medo-Persians came in and took over.
So he was Babylon.
He was Babylon.
He was Babylon, and then the Medo-Persians would be next.
Medo-Persians were next, the silver. And then Greece came along. They were the next world empire. And they
had Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great
was part of that.
Maybe you heard the story of him. He was 30 years old. He had conquered the world. 30 years old.
Wow.
It is said he sat down and wept, and he cried, and someone said, why are you crying, Alexander? He said, because there are no more worlds to conquer.
Really?
At age 30, he conquered the world and was sad.
I remember 30, I couldn't even conquer Tetris. I can't imagine. Okay.
No wonder they call him Alexander the Great. Right.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I never heard that. Thanks for sharing that.
And so he ruled from about 331 BC to 30 BC. And his kingdom was divided up into four different sections after his death. And then, of course, the next world empire that we see is the Iron Legs, and this is Rome. Mm. Okay, and let's read about this kingdom, verse 40. Do you mind reading that?
Verse 40 of Daniel chapter 2 says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise."
And guess when Rome existed? In the Iron Age. Greece existed in the Bronze Age. Medo-Persia was in the Silver Age. Babylon was in the Gold Age. And this is in your encyclopedias. This is not just, I mean, and God nailed
Fascinating.
It way before it ever happened.
Wow.
He knew that whole era. And so I think God is just awesome like that. And so, and you remember when Jesus Christ was crucified, the reason why there were Romans there at his crucifixion was because Rome ruled the world.
They did. You're right.
It wasn't just a country. It was a one world government, and they ruled the whole world, and they were strong. Just as scripture says, "It shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces." And this is the part that I really thought was interesting, "and bruise." And I think of Jesus when I hear that, because he was bruised for our iniquities.
Yes, he was.
I think he was throwing in a little hint that this is the time frame. Of course, hindsight's always 20/20. I don't think you would have read it back then and known, okay, that's talking about Calvary.
No, right.
But sure. Now looking back, it's like a little nugget in there saying, yeah, he knew the era that he was going to be bruised for us. And it's in the Iron Age during Rome.
Wow.
And then, of course, that's where most Bible prophecy teachers stop. They stop at four kingdoms: the head of gold, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome.
But there's one more.
There is one more. There's a distinction in that one more. I mean, you can read it where it says, verse 41, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes," so look at verse 39, we're talking about after the gold head. It says, "And after thee, another kingdom." And then after that, another third kingdom. Verse 40, "And the fourth kingdom." And verse 41, "And whereas." So it's like every time they're getting to another kingdom, they're saying, "And this one, and that one, and the other one." And then we move into verse 41, where it's talking about the feet and the toes. Mm-hmm. And we have this same, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay." In other words, the fifth world dominating empire is going to retain an element of the previous world empire, which was Rome. And a lot of people don't realize that Rome was not the last world empire. They were the second to the last.
Wow.
The very last world empire that we had is the Holy Roman Empire. So the Holy Roman Empire began around 800 AD and lasted till about 1806 AD. But scripture teaches that it's going to be revived. So it was the last world empire, the fifth one, and it looks like it's dead right now, but it's fixing to be revitalized, and it's going to be essentially the same kingdom that already existed, but it's going to exist again.
I see.
And it began in 800 AD when the Pope placed the crown on the head of Charlemagne and said, "I now pronounce you Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire." But the thing that was different about the Holy Roman Empire was that it was not ran by a single king. It was ran by two individuals.
Two leaders.
Yes. A political leader and a spiritual leader. The first political leader was, you know, King Charlemagne, and the Pope was his spiritual leader. And so the Pope was, whoever the Pope was at the time, was always in that position. And then, of course, whatever king was in position. The problem with that is, when you have two heads of anything, eventually there's going to be a clash. It's just the way it is. And so scripture says that this kingdom would be partly divided and partly strong. Actually, if you don't mind reading verse 41, it'll give us a little insight into this.
Verse 41 of Daniel chapter 2. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay.
So it's called the Holy Roman Empire, which is a lot like Rome, right? Holy Rome. So the only thing is we added an element from Rome. We added the holy part, which is where the Pope comes in. So now it's the Holy Roman Empire. But it says plainly that the potter's clay and the iron, they're going to be divided. There is in it the strength of the iron. It's got that Roman element. For as much as thou saw the iron mixed with the miry clay. Verse 42 goes on to say, and the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. So they will marry between one another, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So you have a political religious faction that is joining forces, but there's two heads to this monster. And none of them wants to submit to the other. And so if you study the history, you'll find where it was strong, and then it was failing, and it was strong, and it was failing, until it finally seemed to die out around 1806. But it has recently been revived, the Holy Roman Empire. Now, they may not call it that at this moment, but they probably will end up calling it that pretty soon. But most people don't realize all of these, you've heard of Germany, right?
Sure.
They've been trying to revive this Holy Roman Empire all these years. Maybe you've heard of the Four Reichs of Germany.
Yes, I have.
All right. And then everybody's heard of Hitler's famous Third Reich.
Absolutely.
What was Hitler trying to do? He was trying to unify all of Europe and let Germany be the leader of that so that he could control the world. He wanted to control the world, but the first step is he's got to control Europe. So he wanted to get Rome back together. So he starts on his rampage trying to, you know, creating war, but trying to unify all of Europe as his first step. But he couldn't do it. He failed. God he failed.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he was being terrible to the Jews, and no telling what this world would have been like had Hitler won.
Continued to dominate, right.
But what Hitler failed to do in his day through war, the European Union has been successful doing without any war. The European Union has all but reconfigured itself all over Europe. You know, right now we have like 325 million Americans. And but did you realize that the European Union has over 500 million people?
Really?
We want to say that we're the only superpower in the world. And we may have a lot of nukes, and so does Russia. But France has nukes too. And as far as manpower and money, Europe has it. And they actually have more people than we do. And so what Hitler and all the other Reichs that were trying to unify Europe to sort of resurrect the Holy Roman Empire, what they couldn't do through war, it has been accomplished through peace with the European Union.
Wow.
And the thing is, on December 13th, 2007, the European Union signed their Lisbon Treaty. And it basically ratified every nation together. And so you can raise crops in Great Britain and sell them in France, like we produce corn in Texas and sell it to Louisiana.
Right.
And so it's sort of a United States of Europe. And what Hitler couldn't do through war, it's now been accomplished through diplomacy.
That's incredible. That's incredible. So how might that impact us?
Well, that's a great question. The answer is found in the 10 toes. Because I don't know if you remember back in our prophecy lesson about the Antichrist. Scripture says he will come up among 10 kings.
10 kings.
The 10 toes represent the 10 kings that'll unify in the last one world government that the Antichrist will come from.
Aha, now it's all tying together. There's 10 horns in the one.
10 horns.
10 horns, which is the same as the 10 toes.
Uh-huh.
It's all about that final, all leading to a one world government, essentially.
Yes. And so the Bible is saying that there's coming another one world government on this scene right before Jesus Christ comes. And it's going to be very recognizable because its power base is going to be based in Europe. Now, I know the United Nations right now is in New York. And the United States of America has been sort of the sole superpower since World War II, and we've really enjoyed sort of dominating.
That's right.
But Scripture shows that this is, the pendulum's about to swing, the power's fixing to swing back to Europe, maybe after World War III or after the Six Trumpet War, which we'll have to talk about another time. But this world's fixing to change like you wouldn't believe. And the power base of the Antichrist is coming from Europe, from the Holy Roman Empire. And we'll know it because we'll see 10 kings rise up out of Europe. Mm. We'll see Europe begin to take the lead as opposed to America or, you know, some of these other nations that would love to do so, like China. Europe is actually going to be the powerhouse of the Antichrist. It's going to be his base. And Scripture says, but when that happens, in the days of these kings, that's when the God of heaven actually comes. And if we could read verse 44, it'll tell us about it.
In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kings, and it shall stand forever.
This is how we know the toes represent the horns and the kings, because we know all of these are world-dominating kingdoms, from the head of gold, silver arms, bellies and thighs of brass, the legs of iron. All of those had one king, right? One emperor, one ruler over them. But this says, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Well, all these kingdoms don't exist today. You know, Babylon's fallen. Medo-Persia doesn't even exist today. Greece is but a small country. It's not a world-dominating force anymore. You know, so in the days of these kings can only be in reference to this final kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only other thing that says anything about more than one is these 10 toes. And we've got other scriptures showing that the Antichrist comes, makes a one world government, comes up among 10 kings. And Scripture says, in the days of these kings,
it's incredible,
shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed.
Wow. So even more of a reason for any of our listeners to make sure they swing back around to our first few episodes, because this would take you, it would even make more sense. It's just kind of foundation, kind of leading up to the Antichrist, and we talked about the false prophet. This is fantastic. I mean, I can remember reading this chapter and not understanding this at all. I had no idea that this would tie in as tight as it does today.
Well, you're absolutely right. The rest of verse 44 goes on to say, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, sets up his kingdom on this earth, which will never be destroyed, all those kings that are ruling right now, all those presidents, all the mayors, everyone in power, their power is going to be taken away, and they're not going to be allowed to rule themselves anymore. Scripture says that the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall be broken into pieces. So,
wow.
If you look on the political scene today and you're not happy, just hang on.
That's right.
It's fixing to change.
Fantastic. Well, this really ties in to what we've been talking about. Thank you so much for bringing that in. And today, I'm amazed how I've read that before and never made the final tie-in like you did. Like you said, oftentimes the teaching stops right before that Holy Roman Empire that you talked about.
It really does. And I think verse 45 is a great way to conclude it, sort of wraps it up. Scripture says, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, in the future. Mm-hmm. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation of it is sure. So
wow.
God showed this king, who wasn't even, you know, a God-fearing man. He just showed him everything that's coming to pass, the major one-world governments, the five-world empires that would exist from his time till the return of Jesus Christ. And of course, it's hindsight for us because we've seen the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, Rome, Holy Roman Empire. But this Holy Roman Empire is in the process of being rebirthed. Oh, and by the way, I got to throw this in. Do you know who was on the first coin of the euro? Like on our penny, we have Abraham Lincoln. The face on the euro is Charlemagne.
Really?
Guess what the name of the building is in Brussels where they come together and they produce all their laws. Theirs is called the Charlemagne Building. They've got a magazine out in the European Union, The Economist, major publication of world affairs. And one of the pages is always dedicated to honoring whoever has brought the most unification to Europe. That page is called the Charlemagne page.
That's right. Tying it all in.
So ask me if I think they know what they're doing when they put Charlemagne on their European Union coins, when they name their building after Charlemagne, when they put in our publications, this is the Charlemagne page, and we honor people who are unifying Europe. Do they know what they're doing when they're calling all these things Charlemagne? I think that they are aware that they are trying to revive that Holy Roman Empire.
Wow, that was incredible. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. And now it's time for our personal application.
You're going to take this one because you shared something with me. I didn't hear the whole story, but I understand. By the way, I heard you preach recently. It was fantastic. And thank so, you. But what that makes this even more amazing about you commented once that you were shy as a high school. You got to tell me about that.
Bro, I was so shy in high school. I would not talk to anybody. First of all, I have a C-type personality on the DISC profile. If you've ever looked into that, it's worth checking out. Everybody has their own personality types.
Absolutely.
They have, you know, a D is real outgoing, kind of, you know, in charge. And then the I is real...
Inspirational.
Inspirational. They're the life of the party. Mm-hmm. You've got the S, which is...
Silent supporter, I think I've heard it called.
Silent supporter. They're everybody's friend. Mm-hmm. People love
behind
to talk
the scene
to them.
Kind of
that's the And then there's the C. There's the guy that nobody likes, and that's me. Not really. But
a conscientious...
Contemplator. But they're quiet. Mm-hmm. They're introvert, not extrovert. Well, that's how I grew up. I was in this little shell, and I can still remember in high school my teacher saying, "All right, class, we're going to have each of you stand up, tell us your name, a little something about yourself, and I'll just pick you randomly." Well, she points at me first.
No.
First day in English class, ninth grade, and she says, you, stand up, tell us your name, a little bit about yourself. I shook my head no. I said,
uh-uh. You
yeah. I said, uh-uh. She said, yes, stand up, tell us your name, just a little something about yourself. I shook my head no. I said, uh-uh. She said, I did not ask you, stand up and tell us your name and something about yourself.
What?
I said, uh-uh, shook my head no. And she pointed toward the door. She yelled, she said, out!
She kicked you out the first day.
Yelled and kicked me out into the hall on day one.
She thought you were being
one.
Rebellious or making fun she of her. Did. She didn't recognize. She I did. Hope that she didn't recognize. You were shy and I'm sorry. She just thought you're like, nah, no way. I don't need to do what you're asking
she,
me to do.
She had to think that. I wasn't trying to be that way. But I had done that before.
Did you leave?
No, I sat out in the hallway.
Did you cry?
This is what would happen, though. Oh. I would cry.
You can tell us if you cried.
Okay. This is every time I was called on to do an oral report.
Oh no!
My heart would start boom, racing.
It's amazing.
And then my voice would start shaking like this, and it would make me embarrassed. And then I would just give up and cry and just stop. I knew that was going to happen in front of my whole class on day one. I'm like,
oh, you can't go there.
I'm a ninth grader. You know, I'm trying to wear Vans and have cool clothes and be a part of the. And I'm not going to ruin my whatever reputation I thought I had in day one.
Day one. Shocker.
So, anyway, it was just probably a year later, God called me to preach. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to stand in front of my class.
Can't even talk. How are you going to preach?
I felt like Moses stuttered. God, I can't do that. And why does God always pick these guys that, you know, there's always somebody out there that can do it better. At least I've always felt that way about me. You know, they say we don't even like our own sound of our own voice.
Yeah, I can't stand mine.
Yeah. But I can remember one day I was sitting on the stairs after a miracle that happened, which I have to tell you about some other time for time's sake. But I'm sitting in the stairwell and I said, God, why did you let this guy kill himself? He was trying to come against me. I'd been praying for him. He ended up killing himself. And God spoke to me on the stairwell. He called me to preach. He said, I've anointed you to preach the gospel, and he had plans to harm you. And it is written, touch not mine anointed. do my prophets no harm. That's what the scripture says. I'm not saying he's calling me that. He's just quoting scripture. My mouth is open. I'm like, God just called me to preach. I don't even want to stand up in front of my class. I'm like 17 years old. I was like, who's telling anybody? I'm not going to get a card and ask anybody to have me preach. I stand up. I walk down the stairs. My dad starts walking upstairs. He was downstairs. He met me in the stairwell. I wasn't vocalizing any of this. There's no way he heard. When we were passing on the stairwell, he stopped and he pointed his finger in my face and said, son, with authority. He said, son, you're preaching Sunday. And then he just walked on up the stairs. And I'm like, my mouth is open. Whoa. I'm like, 20 seconds ago, God spoke to me and said, I've anointed you to preach the gospel. I'm thinking, why me? Who's going to tell anyone? I'm not going to open any doors. I'm not even going to buy a card that says preacher. Brother McKee, my pastor, used to have a preacher's card that said, we'll preach for food. I may have done that because I loved food. Still do. But my dad, out of nowhere, says, you're preaching Sunday.
Wow.
So I go and get a Jeff Arnold tape and listen to it and memorize it. Yeah, right. Wrote every word for word down. Done in 8 minutes flat. Oh. You know, it's funny. We had a missionary that heard that message, my first message, and they came up to my dad afterwards and said, he is so deep in knowledge for his age. And I didn't have the heart to tell him I stole Jeff Arnold's message. But
well, that's incredible.
But this is what happened. I'm shy. I can't talk in front of people. I know it. It's going to be a disaster. God, I know, God, you've made a big mistake, God. Mm. I got up there with Jeff Arnold's message, my name on it. I'm sorry, Brother Arnold. Like, you could sue me for copyright infringement.
Here.
I get up there, and guess what happens? My heart starts boom, 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 boom. And I know my voice is going to start shaking. I know I'm fixing to cry. And I know my ministry is short-lived. It's done. And I'm standing there with my heart racing now. I haven't said a word yet. And I prayed in my mind. I said, God, or maybe I whispered. I can't remember. But I said, God, I don't know what you're going to have to help me now. If this is not a mistake, I need you to tell me what to do right now. Hmm. And I asked for his help. And you know what? He helped me. He spoke to me. And he said, why don't you get their attention off of you and onto me, and I'll do the rest.
Wow.
And I thought, that's genius, God, because then the pressure is gone if I'm not the focus of the attention.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only thing that came to me in that moment was, why don't we all give the Lord a hand of praise? I'd heard that phrase over and over. Why don't we all give the Lord? So I said, why don't we all give the Lord a hand of praise? I got that out without it shaking and making me nervous. And everybody started clapping in their hands and worshiping God. And God is my witness. Instantly, my heart calmed down.
Wow.
My nerves left me.
That's that Prince of Peace coming in.
Prince of Peace
shows up on the spot.
And the Holy Ghost descended on me. I don't know if you've ever had, I'm having right now, like the Holy Ghost, the hairs on your arm stand up.
Absolutely.
I bet you somebody listening right now as a witness to the Spirit is feeling that. That's what I felt. And my heart was calm and my voice was not shaky. And from then on, the anointing hit, and all fear was gone. Anxiety was gone.
Hmm.
It flowed in such a way I knew it was not me.
Yes, right.
Right? And so even from time to time, when I go up to preach now, sometimes, not every time, sometimes I'll feel that little fear.
Hmm.
And it's just God's way of keeping me in check.
That's
and
right.
I always, first thing I say, why don't we worship the Lord? And it always leaves.
Wow. So this is an amazing story, because just this past week I saw, you preached in front of 500 plus people. I'm not sure how many, and sure, many more online. And of course, to hear that is just unbelievable. That, wow, God's awesome. That is fantastic.
Well, the only reason I told this application, this story, is it reminds me of the boldness that the end time saints are going to have.
Mm.
Scripture says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So I'm going to tell you what, no matter what we face in this end time, you don't have to be afraid. Don't even think about what you're going to say, because God's going to put the words in your mouth. You're going to open your mouth. He's going to fill it. He's going to give you boldness just like he gave me.
That is awesome. Wow.
And now it's time for our trivia answers.
All right, the trivia answers, and then we'll wrap this show up today. And so here we go. The prophet in the story that we told earlier today was, drum roll please,
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah. All right. Give yourself one of the 4 points you can earn here. That means you at least have an appetite for the word. And the second one is the book of the Bible this is in?
Nehemiah.
Oh, yes. He didn't stutter. It is both Nehemiah. Both.
Nehemiah.
And the third question to answer was, what city are they building a wall around?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Hope you got that right at home. Next and last, year, this Jerusalem. One here is the big one. This is, you know, this is a good one. They said, you said you've eaten good of the word, and you've eaten of the word, and you found it to be good. I think it's something, you said something like that.
I always butcher this name. Do you know how to say that?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, go for it.
It's King Artaxerxes.
There you go.
King Artaxerxes.
That's great. You did a good job on that.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. That's the four right there. And
I got to tell you something. Yeah. I didn't want to tell you this earlier.
What?
Nehemiah. I thought he was a prophet, too. I heard Pastor say last night, he said this phrase, of course, Nehemiah wasn't a prophet. So we've been saying all show, who is the prophet?
Oh, I did say who is the prophet.
But he's actually not a prophet.
No, that's a great point. We just learned, Pastor mentioned that. Nehemiah is not actually a prophet. As you read the story, he was a cupbearer of the king.
Yeah.
And he was a governor, like he ruled over some area, but he really wasn't an actual prophet. What a great testimony that he was just a saint of God, used of the Lord, had a burden, had a passion for his people, for righteous sake, and God used him to rebuild this city. And it was an amazing story without a man that wasn't considered a man of God. So I think that is incredible.
So if we misled you on that, you can actually give yourself an extra point on the scale.
Yes. So, wow. All right. So we want to go ahead and wrap it up then. I just want to make sure that if you enjoy our podcast, this Bible Prophecy Show, make sure you follow it or follow, depending on whatever platform you're following through podcast, because we're really appreciate all your support, and we want to make sure that God blesses you. And the most important thing today is make sure you're ready. Be ready.
Thank you for joining us on the Bible Prophecy Show. Tune in next week for another exciting episode, or visit us online at BibleProphecyShow.com, where you can listen to all of our podcast shows, enjoy our blog, and learn how to be born again to make heaven your home.